Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, dear Critter Shed listener. Greetings from the Netherlands, where I'm currently based. It's a cold but sunny day outside, and I'm thinking fondly back to this day in September of last year when Collie and I met and chatted about some of the wonderful things that he has in his garden and also some of the amazing creatures that he shares his life with. So we hope you enjoy this. This show is the last in our current series, and we're going to be getting together face to face over the coming months and bringing you some incredible stories about the creatures that we share our planet with. So we hope you enjoy. So, Collie, here we are.
Sunny Wicklow for a change. I take my shirt off. You can see.
Oh wow! I'm getting hot now just looking at this. We're sort of known for doing programs about looking for things that we never actually find.
After the dragonfly episode where we didn't actually find any dragonflies, I said I was going to be fully prepared for today. And if you look in these two trays, I've caught a few pals just to show you.
Trays full of water, it has to be said.
Trays full of water and a lot of weed to give them cover. And today we're going to be talking about a very popular pet, which has become worldwide an introduced and invasive species. And it's the terrapins.
Oh, great. I had some terrapins very briefly, and I got to know a little bit about them, but I really didn't get to know enough. So,
yeah, and first of all, we have to address. So, terrapins are turtles. Everything with a shell that's a reptile is a turtle.
Okay.
Okay, so tortoises are turtles, terrapins are turtles. The name terrapin actually comes from a Native American Indian word for the diamondback turtle, which is a North American species, and they called it a terrapin. And that got into the English colloquialisms and language, and they brought it back to England, and then that's kind of how it came about. That's why we call a lot of things terrapins that are essentially just turtles. Mm. And there's a crossover between a lot of them. We can get into that another time. I think we should do an episode on tortoises and explain that whole natural history of them. It's fascinating how they evolved.
Or some people say tortoises.
Tortoises, yes, there you go. There's so many,
depending on where you come from,
so many ways of describing them. But so we'll just stick with terrapins because I think that everybody knows what we're talking about. We're not talking about tortoises, which are the land-based turtles, the ones with the big elephant-like feet. They walk on their tiptoes the same way an elephant does. Whereas,
yeah, that's a really unusual
they
to look
do,
at.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's almost like convergent evolution because they're big, heavy-bodied, heavy-shelled reptiles as well, and they tend to stand on their tippy toes on these heavy legs. Mm. Whereas the true turtles and the terrapins will put their whole foot down and tend to drag themselves along more reptilian like, for want of a better description.
Now, as I look in this large tray of water, you have a rock and there's some sort of growth, something sort of a plant there swishing around. I see a little head sticking out, a very small head
sticking out.
And it's a beautiful colour of dark and light and very attractive looking.
And very, very cute. And this is probably, this is the problem with these guys.
Oh. And it's tiny for now.
For now, yeah.
And it's, oh my God, it's beautiful. So that's a terrapin. So does a terrapin have another scientific name or is it?
Well, this is a species of terrapin, or a species of turtle. So this is a cooter. A North American species, a river cooter turtle.
Now, the animal that you have is about 3 centimeters. The shell is about 2 centimeters or 3 centimeters.
Yeah, about a €2 coin.
Yeah. How old is this little dude?
Probably a few months only. And this guy was rescued. I think they were smuggled into the country and ended up with the ISPCA, which is the Irish Society for Protection of Cruelty to Animals.
Yeah.
And they asked me would I be willing to take on 5 of these. So there's 5 in here.
Oh, wow.
I'm after building a pond for turtles, which they will eventually go into. Not right now because they haven't been acclimatized and we're starting to get cold.
Mm.
So next year they'll go into the pond fully. Mm. For the winter they're going to stay lovely and cozy in a nice big fish tank.
Do you know what they look like when they're that size? They're so perfect looking. The shell is so perfect and shiny. They actually sort of look like they're made of plastic, like plastic toys.
They're like
or something.
Toys, and they're like Pokemons almost.
They are.
You can see the big eyes, the classic traits that people love to look at in cute animals. It's like when you get a puppy or a kitten, the big eyes, the big smiley expression.
Yeah. And then the colours, like it's sort of a stripy mottled dark green and light yellow. It's absolutely beautiful.
And a classic pet terrapin in the UK and Ireland and Europe was the red-eared slider, which would have had that red band behind the ear. That was the one that was from like the 1950s. America produced loads and loads of these to sell in the pet trade. And they were brought over here on bulk and sold with dinky little tiny plastic fish bowls, which are completely unsuitable for them, because even though this little guy is this size now, he's the runt of the litter. I'll try and find a bigger one. They grow extremely fast.
So you're reaching in now, you're taking out another one that's twice the size.
As big, and he was the same size as that one last week.
Really?
Yeah.
God.
So,
and then the head and this one is in the head, and legs are withdrawn.
Are tucked away.
They're so gorgeous. Oh, they're stunning. You can see why people adore them. But then, of course, the problem happens when they stop being this size.
Yes, and as I was saying, like they're sold a lot of the time. They were sold a lot of the time in very unsuitable setups, and basically outgrew them. And then they are very, very smelly creatures.
Really?
They're shit machines. They really are. Like they actually, it's unbelievable. Like the 5 of them would, even with a very strong filter system that I have them, need weekly water cleans. Otherwise, you're getting into stagnation water and they can become ill.
Mm.
You get growths on their shells and you don't want anything like that. But the best way to keep these guys is to have them outdoors in a pond.
Mm.
It's the most ethical way of keeping them. Now, that doesn't mean you go down and you release them in your local duck pond or your canal.
Because
my colleagues in ARC in the UK, who are working at amphibian reptile conservation, have been analysing ponds where sliders, the yellow belly sliders, red eared sliders, cooters, ridgebacked terrapins, where they've all been released, and the wildlife population seems to just disappear because they literally will eat anything. They'll eat newts, frogs, fish, snails, and it's not their fault. They're just doing what they do. Where they evolved, other animals in North America would have known how to deal with them. Our animals don't, and they do tend to gulp down a lot of them. So it's really important that if you are getting them, to make sure that you have the correct setup.
Mm.
Every one of these is a rescue. Here's another rescue. It's a 15-year-old.
Oh, wow. So you're reaching into another tray with water and growth. And this is, what, 20 centimetres?
Yeah.
Big,
snappy,
beautiful.
Big snappy head as well.
Yeah, so the head is withdrawn, the legs are withdrawn, and we have this gorgeous face looking at us. And the colours really are stunning, aren't they? Like, now that I put my glasses on, I can see me.
Yeah, there's kind of iridescent colours around the beak. And,
it's beautiful.
And if you know,
and look, oh my God, I'm seeing something I didn't expect. Claws.
Yeah, and you can see here the claws are really long.
Really long, they're like a centimetre long.
Yeah. Now that gives us a very, very clear idea of what sex it is. And can you guess?
I'm thinking, oh, hang on, it's a female.
Well, it's the reverse of what you think. It's the males in the aquatic turtles that have the long nails.
Ah.
And when they're mating with them, they'll go nose to nose, the male as well, and he'll put his long claws up to her chin and he'll tickle her in the face.
Oh.
It's very pretty kind of display.
They are, like, I can see his little nose there and the stripes. They're almost a little bit like the mackerel-coloured stripes, sort of.
Yes, very good. Very good description, yeah.
Now, his mouth is open and I can see his nostrils very clearly. He is beautiful.
And absolutely you have to keep your pinkies away from those jaws.
Your fingers, yeah. Right, oh God, yeah.
They will bite. And they
The jaw looks like it's made of something very sturdy.
It's sharp. It's like a razor.
Yeah.
And it can rip through flesh very, very easily. They have a very broad diet, so they'll eat everything from plants to snails and frogs, so they really can eat. You can all as well. This is another river cooter.
Yeah, the shell is a beautiful color. It's dark brown, but almost like mother of pearl sort of little bits coming through.
And this will improve because this guy unfortunately was kept in a tank with no natural light for most of his life. But the color's going to come back in. These blotches, there's some white stained blotches on it, and that's just from being in a tank for too long.
I see the mouth is open. What the fuck are you doing with me? You're turning me over and looking at me.
Yeah, does not like that.
So they live in water and they are clearly breathing in air as well as you're holding them there. So what's that all about? How does that work?
Yeah, so they have, oh, look at that.
Snap. Yeah.
They've got lungs. They're able to breathe. They're exactly like their reptile brethren.
Mm-hmm.
They do have some tricks, though,
right.
that are very unusual. They do what I do after I go for a long, long run. They breathe through their arse.
do they really?
They can, yeah. Really? So certain species, especially these ones that would live in colder climates.
Just going back into the pond there.
Yeah, just because I'm conscious I'm not stressing them out too much. But the ones that live in colder climates can go under the ice and literally absorb oxygen through the cloaca.
Wow.
When the ice freezes over, so they can slow down their body so much that they're virtually like staying on standby, like your computer does, and then they'll absorb the oxygen that's in the water. So they need really rich, oxygen-rich water. So plenty of plants, plenty of growth, and not stagnant, and they'll do fine. And the problem with them again being released into our kind of a climate is because we have fairly mild winters that are reasonably short.
Mm.
We don't get long extended periods of snow like they do in Canada, North America. They never really get into that shutdown mode, but they can't feed because there's not much food around during the winter. So they have this horrible drawn out debt over, and it could take years.
Long starvation.
Yeah, it's a very long starvation. And you can tell, I'm going to take him out again.
His head just popped out there as he was underwater. Now his head.
You can tell if a turtle is healthy or not, or if it's starving or not. But you see the rolls of fat just here.
And you're pointing out to his back end.
His net back end behind
his back legs.
Behind his tail. You can just see when they took in that there's a good layer of fat in there.
Yeah.
An emaciated turtle will look really gaunt in the shell.
Yeah.
Like the shell will be hanging on top
right.
of the bones,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And the shell is an amazing evolutionary thing as well. So that's the plastin, which is on the bottom, and then there's the carapace on the top, and they're both linked in together.
Uh-huh.
And what they are essentially is, like in tortoises as well,
they are
ribs.
Oh,
so ribs extend
really?
Out from the bottom, and then they form, they link up with the carapace on top, and the backbone is fused right along the carapace down to things. So it's like, it's a really, really odd way of surviving by having your ribs externally on your body. And they think that there's a lot of arguments over how they evolve. Nobody really knows. But from certain fossils, there's a guess that they were burrowing animals, burrowing reptiles.
Really?
Yes, because they have really strong, even though they look like they're perfectly designed for swimming, when you see sea turtles and, you know, the big leather blacks and the way they're, that body shape, if you were to put it onto land, is perfect for, like, it's the same as armadillos or moles.
Burrowing.
Those big forearms that are also, and moles are fantastic swimmers as well. So
really?
Yeah, so it's not that much of a leap if they were successful at burrowing and using extended rib plates to set themselves down, almost like a tractor, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then these ribs that extended for burrowing, to stabilize them when they're burrowing, changed into something else. And that happens a lot in evolution. It's like why birds have... they evolve feathers for warmth, but now they use them for flight and for showing how sexy they are and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's very interesting. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I find it fascinating. I really do. And I'd love to go back in time and see some of their ancestors, because turtles are weird enough looking now. I'd say their ancestors were extremely strange looking. Oh, he's coming out now.
He is now. I can see his... And as he comes out, on either side of his head or his neck, he has a bit of red.
Yeah.
Which is very attractive looking. Is that gorgeous. A natural colour? It's not...
No, that's a natural colour there, yeah. And
he's moving now.
That's the red-eared slider. So that would have been a classic one. Yeah.
So he has red around his where his ears would be.
And the shell shape of the different species as well. So you can see the cooters that I was showing you earlier on.
Oh, there's another one, yeah. We're back with the small one now.
Yes, the small one. You see the shell shape is quite a bit flatter than the bigger one.
Yeah.
And that's because of the habitat difference. So the red-eared sliders tend to hang around in ponds.
Yeah.
So there's not much flow over the water. You'll see turtle species that live in flowing water will have much more aerodynamic shells to help them cut through the flow and get around. And then you have sauceback turtles as well. And you have all sorts of crazy species. But we'll stick with the terrapins because that's where we're focusing on today. How cute is that?
Oh, just beautiful. Like, just so tiny, gorgeous face, and the little moving, just paddling away there with the legs as you hold them. Two centimetres, size of two of a 2 euro coin.
I'm going to have to name these five.
Oh, look, you just put him down on the rock there, and he's going back and straight back into the water.
They're so fast.
Really?
It's incredible.
Fast.
They're really, really fast. Now, they haven't become invasive yet. They've become their class is introduced, but they reckon that some of them have bred in the UK, which is worrying. And as we warm up, there is a lot more chance that they will be able to lay eggs. If we have a longer, warmer season, they can lay eggs. And if they start to breed in any numbers in Ireland or the UK, or you know, they're already breeding in Europe, that's a big worry for our native species. So it's really on us to make sure that if we are going to buy them, the demand is going to be there. But you have to think long, really, really, really long and hard about getting a terrapin or a turtle, because
you're thinking about age here, right?
Oh yeah, that's another factor as well. So that rescue that I have there is 18 years old. There's another one 25 year old that I have. So you're talking about pets that have been with people for years. Now, these people had to emigrate, unfortunately, to get for work, or they've had young kids, and there's always a risk of salmonella with them. So you have to be careful with that as well. So it's worth planning long term, as you would with any other pet, a cat or a dog.
But how long do they live?
30 years is not unheard of in captivity. So, you know... you have to be in for the long haul. I've heard of some of them in zoos that have gone up for 50 years. So,
wow.
Very long lived. And
this is a case of where your pet might outlive you.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to live forever, but I don't know about you. But no, yeah, definitely. Yeah, it really is. And I'm not just showing you the male there, which looks huge compared to the babies. Now, a female of that species is twice as big as him.
Yeah.
Twice as big.
Wow.
So they're huge. You're talking about 18 inches sometimes in the shell alone.
Will he get much bigger? Is that his?
That's his full size, yeah. The males tend to be a lot smaller than the females. The females are bigger and bulkier because they have to lay all those eggs.
God, they're so adorable. Just looking at the small one walking around the tray in the water and swimming around, and they are stunning.
That's the issue. That's the problem. It's like,
they're out
and
cute.
I understand it totally. I was in the pet shop today picking up some stuff. And the latest species that's really popular is the musk turtle, which is probably a more doable as a pet, because they don't get that big. They're quite happy to stay in not tiny now, but smaller tanks, fish tanks, and compared to these guys, and they're not as, they don't produce as much waste.
Yeah.
But in saying that, it's the same thing. They still are tiny. They're very cute, and you don't have your crystal ball set so you don't see what's
it looks like a wind-up toy.
It does, yeah.
At that age. Do you remember that horrible phase or wave of thing that was happening in China. It's probably still happening, where they were putting little hatchlings, encasing them in plastic,
yeah,
and putting them on key holders, and that was your key ring.
That was your key ring.
It's disgusting.
I saw it in Thailand, and it said not only them, they were doing it with tarantulas and scorpions.
Oh, Jesus.
And all sorts.
And they're
of
actually
things.
Alive,
yeah.
And put in this.
Yeah, and they were putting them in shoes, and it was just crazy.
Jesus.
Just mad.
Mad.
They have a rough time of it. They're one of the most traded group of animals. The turtles are one of the most traded in the black market, because they're hugely popular with collectors, which is a bad look for my hobby, but it is the truth. You have to call it out when you see it, especially in Asia. There's massive sales of them going on, especially with endangered species like Madagascar, and some of the tortoises from there have been smuggled in briefcases and terrible conditions.
We had that you know, in the zoo, customs in Dublin would occasionally come across animals that are being smuggled and give them to the zoo, and we'd have them in our house for a bit of quarantine. And there was a shipment of terrapins. I think they were yellow-eared sliders.
Oh, wow.
And
yellow-bellied sliders.
Yellow-bellied sliders. And there was about, I think there was five of them, and they were wrapped up in moist towels and then tucked into polystyrene boxes. And a couple of them died, and we ended up with three in the house for a bit, and then they went to live in a habitat in the zoo. But it's absolutely heartbreaking when you see what's done to them, you know, and they're just... They're very vulnerable. When you're looking at them, they're moving. They move, okay, sort of fast, but they're quite easy to catch and to...
Of course, and
to
collect,
do stuff,
yeah.
To collect, yeah.
Yeah, and then, like, their nests are very easy to spot and dig them out.
So this species, remind me, sorry, where are they native to?
Well, these would be a North American species, and the ones that are in the pet trade tend to be the sliders, the yellow-bellied slider, the red-eared slider, the cooter. They're all from North America. There are other species from Asia and other places around the world, but they're not as popular as these guys, because these guys are so hardy and easy to breed. That's why they just come in bulk. Mm. Now, the red-eared slider has been essentially banned from sale in Europe.
Oh, yeah?
But it's probably too late at this stage. Mm. For places like Spain and Italy and Portugal, they're breeding and they're out in the open, so they're probably there to stay. Mm. But what happens is, when they ban one species from being imported, another one generally takes its place. So then the yellow-bellied sliders took the place. I think they're going to be phased out. And then of course, the razorbacks came in, and then it would be something else and something else. There's always a way around it.
As we stand here now with these new additions to the family, what's your current turtle count?
Well,
I've lost count at this stage.
Yeah, I know. I have...
Pancake.
Pancake. We have a Russian tortoise inside. I haven't named it. I was going to call him Rasputin, but he is an absolute nightmare.
When did you get him?
About 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
Because somebody found him in Kilkenny in a campsite just wandering around. So.
Oh.
Yeah,
but just again dumped.
Just yeah, or an escape pet, but no one could find him, so he's here. And now I'm going to, when the big pond is set up for these specifically, I'm going to take on probably about 20 of the yellow-bellied sliders and the red-eared sliders, just
really?
To take a little bit of pressure. Yeah, there's a couple of wildlife rescue places that have some that need them. Pressure taken off them. There's so many places that are looking at me, and now I have a bit of space, I can do it. And I can do it properly in a nice area, and they'll have a good life. They'll live out their days. They won't harm any wildlife, because I'll have them well fed, so they won't need to. They're really cool animals in that way. I mean, if you look after them well, they won't be really bothered doing anything else but sunbathing and basking,
which is what we'd all do if we could.
Yeah, exactly. They're gorgeous, though, aren't they?
They are stunning. Can I just mention that since the last time I was here, which is, I don't know, a couple of months, there's another pond. I'm looking at a massive, massive, massive...
Have you not seen that?
I haven't seen this
massive
pond.
Oh, my God, Jane.
Is this the one that you built with the liner?
Oh, yeah.
It looks like it's always been
so
here.
This is going to be exactly... The turtle pond is going to be exactly like that. Same depth, same dimensions, except it's going to be far away from it.
Right.
Because they do tend to wander sometimes, and I don't want them to get in near the front. But this is amphibian land here.
And what's that float? There's something kind of on the top of the, on the surface of the water.
Spinning around?
Yeah.
That's whirligig beetles.
Ah, they're gorgeous.
Do you know about them?
No, I know nothing.
Will we go off turtles for a little bit?
I think we should go off turtles for a bit, yeah. This pond is magnificent. It really looks like it's been here forever. It's gorgeous. It's got the sphagnum moss all around it, rocks. There's gorgeous plants growing in it. Are they irises?
Yeah.
God, irises, it's stunning. Lilies. And ferns and yellow plants, yellow flowers whose names I don't know. Grasses.
The first thing the first thing I got in to the house was the pond.
It's amazing. So back to the whirligig beetles.
Yeah, so they're like a type of beetle, obviously. They fly in.
Yeah.
And sometimes when people are having meals outside and they have a glass table.
Yeah.
Especially if they live near the countryside, they'll get either whirligig beetles or even worse, great diving beetles, which are huge, big, chunky beetles crashing into their glass table. And what's happening is in the evening time, as people are enjoying their Heineken or their cup of tea and chilling out, the beetles are taking off to find new ponds. Mm. What looks like a pond when you're a beetle? A reflective surface of a glass table.
Wow.
So that's where I get people are like, this thing just hit me while I was while I was chilling in the backyard.
It wasn't an idea.
Exactly, yeah. And what they're doing is they're using the vibrations. So as it's hard to describe, so you can paint pictures with your words. So you can see the ripples they're giving off as they swim around.
Yeah. They're almost like bumper cars.
Exactly. That's a brilliant description.
Yeah.
That's a perfect description.
They're floating around and occasionally bumping into each other and then going around. And there's one going in a circle, around, like a whirligig. Ah, that's where they get their name.
And they barely bump into it. If you look really closely, there's no contact between them. They come up to each other and then they spin away. And what they're doing is they're setting off little pulses.
Mm.
Like when you drop a pebble in the water, it's sending off ripples.
Oh, I can see that now. Yeah. I can see that now.
Now, if you're a fly or a wasp or any kind of a bug that falls in that water, they're going to send out that ping.
Yeah.
They'll be able to pick up the vibration of where you are, the location of where you are, and go off and hunt.
Now that I'm looking closely, I can see that vibration on the surface
of
the
water.
It's amazing.
Yeah. And like, again, just arrive, just build it and they will come. It really is.
How deep is that now? It looks like it's got a good depth.
It's 4 feet, 4 foot in the bottom. So it comes up to here on me. So
Up to your waist.
Up to my waist. No, it's not 4 foot. It's a little bit longer. But it is really, it's really deep. I wanted to do the picture in Scarface where he's sitting there going, you people need me. I'm going to do that next year, sitting there when it's fully grown. But I'm really, really happy how it turned out.
Beautiful. No, it's really beautiful. And the fact that it looks like it's been there forever is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. If you plan out your pond correctly and you give it a little bit of thought before just throwing it in the ground, it's not hard to do. People put liners in the ground all the time and then they fill it with water and then they'll kind of put some stuff around it, but it doesn't look as natural, or it takes a long time for it to grow in. You can really speed up that process by collecting sphagnum moss from the islands, the fields, if you're up and you have access to it. Just a little bit, don't wreck nature, just take a little bit at a time and you can just build it up slowly. Or even better, if you can, you can get the rolls of grass from your local garden centre.
Ah.
And if you don't want grass around your pond, you can turn the grass face down and unroll it so the roots are exposed, and put wildflowers or something. And what you're doing there is you're creating the area where the pond is. Any animals that are in it, like our frogs or our terrapins, but you don't want them coming out onto bare plastic. It's really bad for nature. It's really bad for their... It burns them. It essentially cooks them.
Wow.
So you need that kind of vegetation all around just to give them a little bit of cover and to let them out.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Like, it really is.
I'm happy with it.
Gorgeous.
I'm very, very happy with it.
This is the quintessential country retreat. I'm just looking at your house and it's like an old-fashioned...
It looks like a place
it's a
where
farmhouse.
Yeah, farm, but it also looks like where Agatha Christie would go after solving a murder.
It's got the door is surrounded by gorgeous vegetation and flowers, and there's also a chicken sitting there. Well, at least there was 5 minutes ago.
Oh yeah, she's probably gone off under the shed.
I think she went inside actually.
I have one chicken that's figured out that she doesn't like to go to bed.
There's always one. So are you going to introduce me to your chickens?
Yeah. Blossom is the one. She's
Blossom.
An absolute monster.
Who named them?
Oh, the kids.
Here we go. So we're off to meet the hens. Here are the girls. Oh, my God, they're huge and they're beautiful.
Yeah, so these are ex-battery hens.
You got them from Little Hill Sanctuary, did you?
Yes. Fantastic group and do fantastic work. Will we go inside? Can you crouch down?
I can. Okay. I've been practicing. You have to close the door behind me, though, will you? You get the door behind me?
Yeah, I will.
Right, we're in the chicken coop with these girls. And they're gorgeous.
We should do a full episode on chickens.
We will. But for now, let's just introduce
myself. We'll introduce them, yeah. Because chickens are fascinating. I was talking to you or Leo about them. They actually have their own language. But we'll cover them in depth and time. So that's Stevie Chicks.
Okay, she's the lighter colour one.
Rogue.
Rogue is slightly smaller red hen.
Then we have Molly.
Slightly larger red hen with no white on her.
She's the Delta. She's the boss. Oh, no, she's the Alpha.
Okay, and then there's a really big one.
And she's the Delta there. So I can't think of her name.
Oh, what's her name? Don't let her know you don't know her name. The insult of it.
Daisy.
Daisy, just like our cat. And the sounds, Collie.
Yes. Oh. And the eggs.
Ah.
Look at this. And oh my God, the difference in the yolk of the eggs.
Oh, I know.
Now guess who's gone home with some eggs?
Tonight? Oh, is Auntie Colette gone home with some eggs?
Yes, she is, definitely. Are we going to do our crazy critter news?
Yes, we are indeed.
Do you know, it's actually, we're going to stick on the team because I think we were both talking about it during the week. So go on, girls, out of my way.
It's crazy critter news. Crazy critter news. You'll think you're on the booze with this crazy critter news.
Yes, apologies for that terrible jingle. We'll work on that. That's homework for our next episode. So in the Seychelles, some researchers over there studying the population of tortoises, giant tortoises that they have over there. There's 3,000 of them on this one particular island in the Seychelles. And one of them was observing and recording, as you do when you're doing research. And she noticed a small tern chick sitting on a log. And a giant tortoise seemed very interested in it. And the researcher took out the camera just the good instinct said there's something a bit odd about this, and starts snapping away. And lo and behold, the giant herbivore, gentle giant tortoise, pursued the chick and then chomped it down, bit its head off, and ate it alive, which is amazing. And it really is crazy critter news this week because that's never been recorded before.
Really?
And it's almost, tortoises are well known to eat carrion and bones and stuff like that, just to supplement their diet, certain species like the redfoots and bush. For one of them to actively pursue and hunt a living creature is pretty amazing, particularly when you're looking at, like, you know, the gentle giant George and all that kind of stuff. I thought that was amazing, and it's well worth, if you're not too squeamish about it.
It's hard to watch.
Did you watch it? Did you?
I did. Yeah.
I didn't think you would.
Yeah, it's hard to watch. Yeah, it's hard to watch.
Yeah.
But as you say, fascinating.
Yeah, really crazy, really crazy behavior, and that population of terns had gone from the island a while ago, if I'm not mistaken, and then were kind of, after it was protected, came back. So it's an example of probably behavior that would have happened before men arrived there, before humans interfered with the ecosystem, just starting up again. And God knows what kind of behaviors we haven't noticed in all sorts of animals, because, you know, certain parts of the food chain have disappeared. This might have been a regular thing that tortoises have been doing on that island for millennia to supplement their poor diet or whatever. But really, really crazy news. And I'm just going to keep my eye on Pancake, because if I fall asleep in the sun and you start munching on my feet, I will not be very happy.
Do not piss her off.
I don't think Pancake's going to eat anything alive anytime soon. That's a rock. That's definitely not alive, Pancake. Don't eat that.
She's looking great. Amazing stuff, amazing stuff.
Well, there you go.
Now off to get me eggs.
Yes, I'll get you some eggs and a cup of tea.
Lovely.
The Critter Shed is a member of The Warren, the home of great Irish podcasts. For more, including my podcast, How to Be Sound, see thewarren.ie.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.